Welcome back, everybody. To Yomi. Today we are up to Daf Yud Dalad Amud Beis 14b, and we are at the very bottom of Daf Yud Dalad Amud Aleph. We are in the middle of a discussion about the Neviot, the seven Neviot, and going through the proofs that we know that they are Neviot. So we are up to Avigail. Avigail, Dusiv. How do we know that she is a Neviya? Because the Pasuk says, Vayahi Rocheves Al HaChamor V'Yoredes B'Seisera HaHar. This is the story in Shmuel Aleph. Basically, Avigail was married to a bad man named Naval. He was a very wealthy man, and he refused to help David HaMelech out. So David said, you know what? He is Morid B'Machos. He's rebelling against the kingship. I am going to go ahead and kill him. Avigail saw that this was happening, and she went to go meet him by the mountain to go save the life of her husband. So comes Gemara and analyzes this Pasuk. B'Seisera HaHar Minahar Mibailei. Why does it say by the secret part of the mountain? It should have said from the mountain, that she was coming down from the mountain. So Rabbi Bar Shmuel explains, Al iske dam haba min hastarim. Rather, what it means is that Avigail was going to ask David a Hilchos Nida question. That's really what this is referring to when it says Seser, the hidden parts. Natla dam v'herasalo. So what she did was she took a cloth, she took some blood and showed it to David to see, am I in Nida or am I not in Nida? So Amar Allah, so David said back to her, V'chimar and dam b'layla, am I really allowed to look at this cloth, at this blood at night? Of course not. I'm only allowed to look at it during the day when there's proper lighting. So of course I can't answer this question for you right now. So Amar Allah, so she said back to him, but are you allowed to go and try capital cases at night? Of course not either. So just as you're not allowed to go and paskin Hilchos Nida Shailas, you're also not allowed to paskin Hilchos Dine Nefashos questions, life or death type of things, and therefore you should not come over here and paskin that my husband is supposed to be killed. So Amar Allah, so David said to her, Morid b'malchus hu v'lo tzarechim mitayne. No, this is a different situation because your husband Naval is a Morid b'malchus. He's a traitor to the kingdom, and therefore we don't even need to have an actual court case. He's going to die anyway. So Amar Allah, adayin shol kayim v'lo yatzat tivacha ba'olam. So comes Avigail and says back, yeah, but you're not even the king yet. Shaul's still alive. He's still the king. So this is not really Morid b'malchus. So Amar Allah, so David said back to Rubaruch ta'amech uvrucha at Asher kilisini hayom hazeh mibo bedamim. So he was impressed by Avigail's argument. So David said, blessed be your reasoning, and you are blessed that you prevented me this day from committing sins with bloods. Damim tarti mashma, says the Gemara. This seems to imply that there were two things that Avigail prevented him from sinning. We know one is that he was prevented from killing her husband, but what's the second one? So answers the Gemara. So what this teaches us is that Avigail revealed her leg, and when David saw this, he traveled with a major desire for Bia, and he followed her for three parsas. Amr la hashmi'ili, and he then said to her, listen to me, Amr lo, lo siya zos lecha lefuka. And she answered to him, no, this should not be a stumbling block for you, meaning we are not going to be together right now. I'm married, don't give in to this, this is not going to work. Comes Gemara and says, zos mikal di'ika achrisi. When she said to David that this is not going to be a stumbling block for you, you're not going to fall in this situation, which is implying that David will stumble in a different situation. Umaynihu, and what is the situation where he was going to fall? Maisi de Basheva, the situation of Basheva, where he was actually doing something a little more questionable. And in the end, it was this way. And what we see from here is the fact that Avigail said that in the future, you're going to have a situation where you're going to be tempted and you're going to not maybe pass it in the way that you should. So we see that she was a Nevi'ah from that. Gemara continues to go and learn from the story of David Avigail. And she said to him, yet the soul of my master shall be bound in the bond of life. So as Avigail was leaving him, she said to him, and Hashem shall deal well with you, and you shall remember me. So I'm Rav Nachman says, Hani Dam Rein, this is what people say, Issa Bahade Shusa Pilcha, that while a woman is talking, she's doing other things while she's talking. She can still spin fibers to make yarn, and Ika Damre, Shafilva Azil Baravza, they know he mitafye. And others say that Rav Nachman was referring to this other saying of a goose stoops as it goes, but its eyes are still looking farther down. Basically, what this means is that even though she was saying, yes, I'm married to Naval, she said, by the way, you know, don't forget me down the line. Naval's going to die eventually, and I would love to marry you. So she was keeping her options open for the future, even though she was married at that time. Fine. Now we get to the next Neviyah. Chulda. The Pasuk says, so Chukiyahu, the Kohen, and Achikam and Achbor, they all went to Chulda. So this is talking about a situation which is all quoted in Malachim Beis, talking about this time when they were going to rebuild the Beis HaMikdash, and when they were examining to go and kind of do the fixing up of the entire Mikdash. So they saw that there was a Torah that was open to a very bad part, something which was not a promising type of line, a lot of the curses. So they brought it to Chulda to go and analyze this. It says the Gemara of Makom Dekai Yirmiyah Hechi Mesnabiyi. So in this place where Yirmiyah was the prophet, how did Chulda go and give some sort of prophecy? How was she allowed to do so if Yirmiyah was really available and he was the main prophet of that generation? So in the Gemara Amrei Beirav Mishmei Rav Chulda Krovas Yirmiyah Hisav Elohav Makbid Aleha. No, it's different. different. They were cousins. They were related. However, they were related, and therefore he was not going to be offended by the fact that they went to Huldah instead of her. Sums the Gemara and says, Yoshio Gufe Hechi Shavik Yirmiyo Mishadar Lagaba. But Yoshio himself, how is he allowed to not go to Yirmiyah and instead go to Huldah instead? How could this possibly be? So in Gemara, Amrei Demir Rav Shelem Nesha Nashim Rachmani Osein. He sent his people to Huldah because women are more merciful than men, and when they had this not good-looking prognosis as to what this is going to mean, they'd rather have the voice of a woman on it as opposed to going straight to Yirmiyah. Comes the Gemara and gives another answer. Rabbi Yochanan Amar, Rabbi Yochanan says, no, the reason why they went to Huldah is for a different reason. Yirmiyah lo avu hasam shehalach lahachzir aser sashvatim. Because Yirmiyah wasn't there because he went to go get back the 10 lost tribes of Nalanda Ahador. And how do we know that he did restore these tribes? Yiksiv ki amocher ela mimkar lo yashuv. Because it says, for the seller shall not return to the sale. Efshar yovel batel v'navi misnabe alav sheyibatel el malamit shirmiyah hachziran. The Pesukim are talking about Yovel and how Yovel might be reinstated. In order to have Yovel reinstated, just about everyone needs to be back in Eretz Yisrael. And the only way that this could be possible is if the 10 tribes are going to be there as well. And therefore, we see that it wouldn't be that Yirmiyah would be talking about Yovel if it wasn't close. So what we see is that he was going and bringing all these tribes back. Now the Gemara continues on this topic of bringing the 10 tribes back, and says the Gemara of Yoshiyahu ben Amon malach aleihem, and Yoshiyahu ben Amon, he ruled over these tribes. Tziv ayomer maha tzion halaz asher ani roev vayom roev lav anshe ayir hakever isho elohim asher ba mi Yehuda vayikres ador ma'il asher asisa al hamizbeach beitel v'chi ma tivu shal Yoshiyahu al hamizbeach beitel. So the Pasuk talks about the fact that Yoshiyahu, who was the king of Judah, of Yehuda, was by the Mizbeach in Beitel. So why would he be over there by the place of the 10 tribes? El malamit Yoshio malach alein. What we see is that Yoshio, he ruled over them at that time, and that's why he was over there. Comes Gemara and brings another proof of the fact that Yoshio ruled over the 10 tribes. Of Nachman Amar Mehachli, he says it's from a different pasuk. Am Yehuda shas katzir lecha b'shuvi shivus ami. The pasuk seems to be referring to Yoshio in the sense of that he was the ruler over all of this. Next. The next Neviyah that we are talking about is Esther. Esther, Dixiv Ayiba Yamashli Shiva Tilbash Esther Malchus. So the Pasuk says, and it was on the third day, and Esther wore Malchus. Big day Malchus, me by the legend. It said the royal garments. Why did it just say Malchus? Levashta Ruach HaKodesh. Rather, it means that she was wearing Ruach HaKodesh. Ksiv HaChavat Tilbash, because it says over here, Vat Tilbash, Ksiv HaSam, Ruach Lavsha, Es Amasai Vigomer. So this is how we know that Esther was a Neviyah. Now continues the Gemara and says, Amr of Nachman said, Lo Ya'a Ihirusa Linashe, that being in positions of prominence is not nice for a woman necessarily. Tarte nashe yihiran havyon visanyon shemayu, because it could lead to arrogance, and this is going to be a problem because there were two prominent women who were in very high positions, yet their names were repulsive because of this lack of humility. Chad shema ziburta, one was named B, which is Devorah, v'chada shema karkushta, and one was named Weasel, which is what a chulda is. So these two neviot, they did stuff a little wrong in terms of their humility, and therefore they were given these bad names. Yivortiksiv ba vatishlach vatikra levarak, because the pasuk says by Devorah, and she sent and called Barak, the ilu ihi lo azal lagabe, but she herself did not go to him, she just called out to him. That's not so respectful. Karkushta ksivba by the weasel, by Huldah, it says imru la ish, go tell the man, v'lo amra imru lamelech, and it should have said lamelech. So we see that this is two situations where they were acting arrogantly, and therefore their names were not the nicest of things. Amr of Nachman, said Huldah mibnei banav shel Yoshua. So that Huldah was a descendant of Yoshua, as we know from the following pasuk, ksiv hacha ben Charchas, because the pasuk says that Huldah was the son of Charchas. Uksiv hasam b'simnas cheres, and it says elsewhere that Yehoshua was in Timnas cheres. So we see from there that she is related to Yehoshua. Esve Ravena Sabal of Nachman. But we have a question from the following brayser. Shmona neviim heim kohanim yotu mirachav azona. There were 8 prophets who were kohanim that were descendants from Rachav the Zona. Now Rachav is from Sefer Yehoshua. She's the one that hid the other spies who were going in as they were going to take down Yericho. So there were 8 prophets who were Kohanim that were descendants from Rachav, and these are them: Neriah, Baruch, Husraya, Mechasya, Yirmiyah, Chilkiah, Hanamel, Vishalom. These are the 8. Rav Yehuda, Omer, Af Chulda, Hanaviyah, Mimnei, Baneah, Shal Rachav, Azona. Rav Yehuda adds that even Chulda was a descendant of Rachav. Ksiv Hacha ben Tikvo, Ksiv Hasam, Es Tikvas Chotashani. So what we see from here is that Chulda is a descendant of Rachav, but not Yehoshua. So which one is it? Is Chulda a descendant of Yehoshua or Rachav? It can't be from both. So Amar Lei, Ina Sabas, or Rav Nachman said to him, you elderly, Amrele, Pasti Uchama, and he said, you blackened vessel, Minach, Mini Uminach, Tistayim Shemaite. We can have both of our statements be true. She could be from both Yoshua and from Rachav, the Igaria Vinaspa Yoshua, because Rachav converted to Judaism, and then she went and married Yoshua. I asked the Gemara, Mihavu Le Zarli Yoshua, but did Yoshua have any children? Vaksiv, Nun Beno Yoshua Beno, but it says that his son Nun, his son Yoshua, which implies that he had no further descendants after himself. So answer the Gemara, no, Bnei Lo Havule, Benasan Havule. He didn't have any sons, but he had daughters, so it is possible that from Rachav and Yoshua came Cholda. Comes the Gemara now and analyzes this discussion of the eight prophets that came from Rachav. So Bishlama Inhu Mifarshi. So I understand that four of them were said explicitly in the Psukim, Ela Avha Yusan Menalan. But how do we know about their fathers, about Hilkiah, Shalom, Niria, and Machasya? How do we know that these themselves were prophets? Kedulah, because we know based on the principle of Ulah. Damarulah, because Ulah says, Koma Kum Sheshmo Veshem Avi Bin Vius. Anytime we have a prophet's name mentioned together with his father's name when talking about a prophecy, Viadurashu Navi Ben Navi, we know that it's a Navi, the son of a Navi. Shmo Velo Shem Avi, it just says his name and not the name of his father, Viadurashu Navi Velo Ben Navi, that he is a Navi, but his father's not. Same thing comes Ulah and says, Shmo Veshem. If a prophet's name is mentioned with the name of his city, then we know we know that he's from that city. If it's just his name without the name of the city, then we know that really he is just in fact from Yerushalayim. This is Daf Yud Dalet Amud Beis. Everyone should have a wonderful, wonderful day.